I'm sure that Josh had no idea what I had planned to talk about this evening, but he did a fine job of picking out songs to go with the lesson that I have planned to present tonight. These songs were both challenging and encouraging to us. And I'm going to try to make this lesson both challenging and encouraging. I choose to call this study, Dare to be Different. And I present this type of a lesson to encourage us to be able to face whatever difficult that we may encounter in our lifetime. It seems that Paul was absolutely right when he made the statement that evil men would wax worse and worse. That being true, and indeed it is, then our responsibilities as the children of God gets more tedious all of the time. So consequently, we need all of the encouragement that we can get. And many times, a challenge serves as an encouragement. For a challenge to do something, we're being encouraged to do it. So I'm trying to put both of those into our study tonight, that we will be able to leave this assembly saying, as the prophet of old did, it was good to have been there. So somebody is wondering, what passage of Scripture have I chosen for a topic or to base our lesson upon? I've selected two. Turn first of all to Luke chapter 6. In Luke chapter 6, we shall begin reading at verse 20 and read through verse 26. The Lord Jesus Christ Himself is doing the talking in this reading. He is encouraging His disciples. But understand, if you will, what a disciple is that He's encouraging. The word disciple simply means a follower. And certainly, Christians are to be followers. Jesus is our example that we should follow in His steps, the Apostle Peter writes. And so we then are followers of Christ or disciples. Now let's see what encouragement that He gives unto us in this reading. And He lifted up His eyes on His disciples and said, Blessed be ye poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are ye that hunger now, for ye shall be filled. Blessed are ye that weep now, for ye shall laugh. And blessed are ye when the men shall hate you, and when they shall separate you from them, from their company, and shall approach thee and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. Rejoice ye that in that day, and leap for joy. For behold, your reward is great in heaven. For in the like manner did their fathers unto the prophets. But woe unto you that are rich, for ye shall receive your consolation. Woe unto you that are full, for ye shall hunger. Woe unto you that laugh now, for ye shall mourn and weep. Woe unto you when all men shall speak well of you, for so did they the fathers to the false prophets. There's one statement that I want you to remember that we just read. And that is, we're told that those who differ from us will separate themselves from us. Now hang on to that. It's important. Those who are not like-minded with us, and we are challenged by the Lord to have His mind in us. So those then that are not like-minded with us will separate themselves from us. Now you may be wondering how that's going to happen. Maybe you will recognize it as we progress with our study. The second passage that I have chosen as a basis for our study is found in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verses 17 and 18. Come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Now did you catch the statement made there? Come out from among them and be ye separate. So here, we are to separate ourselves. In the first reading, those that we are to separate from will separate themselves from us. So you see, there's to be a separation if indeed we're faithful children of God. And again, we'll be challenged by that as we continue with our study. We wonder why there should be a difference. Well, there should be a difference, first of all, because the Lord died making a difference. Our Heavenly Father's plan even before creation included there to be a difference. And so for the will of God to fulfill its purpose, there has to be a difference. Well, we are in that difference. Do we dare to make a difference? Now, in our lesson this morning, you will remember the condition of the Israelites after they were settled in the land that God had promised them. They were to be a different people too. But what did they do? They become so intermingled with the people who were not of the same mind that they should have been of, and so consequently, they angered the Heavenly Father to the point that He took the lives of many of them, and then eventually, He separated Himself from them. So you see, there was to be a difference there. But who was to make the difference? In that case, the biggest part of the responsibility in making that difference rested upon those who were God's people. And the biggest part of the indifference that we've just read about in our text falls upon the shoulders again of those who are the disciples of the children of the disciples of Jesus Christ, were children of God. We have the responsibility of establishing that separation. Now let's continue to see what God has revealed through His Son, the Holy Spirit, and the apostles to enable us to make that difference. We notice in Luke chapter 6 and at verse 22, blessed are ye when men shall hate you, and when they shall separate you from their company, and shall reproach you, and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. Has that ever happened to you? You've lost some friends, some that you thought to be friends, simply because you chose to follow Christ? Now think about it. If that has not been in your experience, consider what the Apostle Paul told Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and about verse 12. He declares unto us that if we live godly in Christ Jesus, we will suffer persecution. Now that's exactly what Jesus said right here in our text. They will hate us. They will no longer consider us to be good friends. And you will notice that they will be weaning themselves away from you, as it were. Because they did not find pleasure being in your association when you were not of the mind that they are of. And so the point may very well come when they will even hate you, as Jesus says in our text. They will just simply not like you anymore. And they may do you even harm. Say bad things about your reputation in order to turn other folks away from you. But do we dare to be different in spite of what those who will separate themselves from us may bring upon us? Yes, we must dare to be different. How do we recognize those that are not like-minded with us? How are we to recognize them? Can we just pick them out? Well, let's see how Jesus tells us to recognize them. Turn back to Matthew chapter 7. In Matthew chapter 7, Jesus deals with some separations. He points out in this text that there are two ways. In verse 13 and 14, one way leads to eternal destruction, the other way leads to life eternal. There has to be a separation. But we need to recognize that we have to make a difference in order to be in the right one of those points of separation. Now, we don't have to do a thing in order to be in the broad way that leads to destruction. The world is made up of people in that broad way that choose not to follow Christ. We have chosen to follow Christ. That separates us then from those in the broad way, and we then find ourselves in that narrow way. But we must maintain that course in order for heaven to be our eternal home. So turning then to that 7th chapter of Matthew, continue to reason with the Lord for just a moment. He declares unto us, beginning at verse 13, he says, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly there are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits." Now watch it. "Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns, or figs of thistles? Even so every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth forth good fruit is hewn down. Every tree that bringeth forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them." By their fruits ye shall know them. Well, now what does he mean by their fruits? We find individuals that undoubtedly would think because I have a fig tree in my yard that that's the kind of fruit that he's talking about, and so by the kind of figs that are on that tree, that defines me. Well, I hope not, because we don't have a very good crop this year. But that's not what Jesus is talking about. Well, there are others that will say these fruits that we are to bear are the folks that we bring to Christ. Well, you miss again. That's not what he's talking about when he uses this word fruits. He is simply saying what we do and what they do will identify us. We are to do good, and those who choose to do that whatever else they want to do rather than to obey the Lord, they're going to do evil things. For if they're not doing the right things, they're doing the evil things, you see. And so then, by what we do, we make the separation. We can be identified by what we do. Now, if you want to put that to the test, let's see if we can. What does your neighbor see you do every day? Well, you don't have to tell me. Your neighbor knows. You may know that you can be absolutely sure your neighbor sees you probably every day. And he probably sees you doing something every day. What does he say early on Sunday morning in about the time you ought to assemble at 9:45 for Bible study? What does your neighbor see? You out gathering the paper, still in your bathrobe and slippers? Is that what he sees when you ought to be on your way to the Bible study? If that's what he sees, what does he recognize? What is he identified in you? A follower of the example of Jesus the Christ? No, because Jesus Christ wouldn't do that. So you're not following in his steps when you choose to absent yourself from the services that he commands us to be present in. You see the difference? And what if your neighbor sees you enter into one of these casinos around here? What's that neighbor going to think of you? There's a good, honest follower of Jesus. Is that how he's going to identify you? Jesus wouldn't go there. And so if Jesus wouldn't go there, how can you? And be a follower of Jesus. You cannot do it. So what is the separation? Well, we can just take those examples and the catalog is full of them to enable us to be able to identify who we should and who we should not associate with. Because their fruit will identify them. What they do, what they say, where they go, how they conduct themselves, their language. So many things about the individual will identify that individual. Now that brings another passage to mind. Turn with me to Romans chapter 8. In Romans chapter 8, let's begin with verse 1. And notice what the apostle by inspiration, how he defines those who choose to walk in the footsteps of Jesus. He said, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. You see right there in verse 1, he makes a difference. He makes a difference between those who choose to live according to the dictates of the flesh or those who determine to live according to the instruction and teaching of Christ. A difference is established. Do we dare to be in that difference? Do we dare to stand for Jesus and deny those who choose to deny Jesus? We have the choice. God gives us that choice. But remember, our second passage, he says, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I'll be a father unto you. So we have a decision to make, brethren. We've got to make a difference. Do we dare to make that difference? But continue in this 8th chapter of the book of Romans. The apostle says in verse 2, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. He's further establishing that difference. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. Now where is sin to be found? In the flesh. Where are those who walk in the footsteps of Jesus to be found? Following in the footsteps of the flesh where the sins are? No. What did He say in verse 1? To walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh. Well, He goes ahead to establish that difference that will not be make a mistake about what He's teaching. Verse 4. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. We've got to make a difference. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. You see there? For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Do we see the difference? Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Do we see a difference? Do we dare to be different? But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If. That little two-letter word is a whopper. If so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of His. Oh, He tells us a boatload there. If the Spirit of Christ is not in us, how are we walking? What is our fruit? If the Spirit of Christ is not in us, there's only one way to go, and that's according to the flesh. And what did He say the condition of the flesh is? It's death. We're dead spiritually if we're walking after the flesh, and if the Spirit of Christ is not in us. But the only way for the Spirit of Christ to be in us is for us to dare to be different and obey Christ. Then we'll have the Spirit. God gives His Spirit to all those who obey Him. Acts chapter 5 and verse 29. So to obey the gospel of Christ then is to declare, I'm going to make a difference. And essentially that's what you say when you confess Christ to be your Lord. You're daring to make a difference. And John tells us in 1 John chapter 3, He that saith, I know Him and keepeth not His commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in us. I hope and trust there's not one of us lied when we made that good confession. That we determined, we were thoroughly convicted and convinced, that we must walk in the footsteps of Jesus. We must abide by His teaching. We must maintain the Spirit of God within us. And we'll know more about that by the time we finish our lesson. So if the Spirit then of God is not in us, Christ isn't in us either. We have chosen the broad way that leads to destruction. See, we need to make a difference. So He continues then. In verse 11 He says, But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall quicken your mortal body by the Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh, for if we live after the flesh, we shall die, that is, spiritually. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, They are the children of God. They are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness, or is in agreement with our spirit, that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. Do you notice that word, if, again? And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. So if then we have obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, we have chosen to make a difference. Are we fulfilling it? How do we fulfill it? By keeping that Spirit of God alive within us, by keeping ourselves in the proper relationship with God in Christ Jesus, walking according to His example. And we have to face the devil to do it. Remember, evil men will wax worse and worse. And as long as we are in this world, we have the responsibility of dealing with evil people. But what then will our fruit show? Pardon me, will show when we're dealing with those evil people? Will they see us fraternizing with them? Will they see us eating, as it were, in their fellowship? Is that what they will see of us? Or will they see us being steadfast and unmovable, always abiding in the law of the Lord? See us working diligently to live by the Spirit and not by the flesh. Remember in our lesson this morning how the Israelites of old were doing things that they thought within themselves to be right, to the ignoring of God's instruction? They made a difference, didn't they? But it didn't please God. We must make a difference as the children of God. There are so many passages that deal with this difference, that certainly if we tried to deal with all of them in our study tonight, you wouldn't appreciate this lesson very much, because you wouldn't want to sit there that long, because there are so many passages that we could deal with along that very line. But really, there's great power in this one that we just read, isn't there? In Romans chapter 8. And there are many more just like this. God speaks so plain that folks have to have help to misunderstand it. And people who need help to misunderstand it goes to the wrong place to get that help. Try to reason with someone who is out of Christ. I'm not so sure about that. I'll have to go ask my preacher. Is that the proper source to see the light? No. Why? Because that teacher, that preacher, is not in Christ either. So if he isn't in Christ, he hadn't obeyed the gospel of Christ. And so if he hasn't obeyed the gospel of Christ, how can he show you what is involved in being different from those who are lost when he himself is lost? Now think, there's the challenge. By our fruits, we need to show our friends, our associates, our neighbors, our relatives, what it is to be in Christ Jesus, to fulfill our responsibility. In the 6th chapter of the book of Romans, as a result of obeying the gospel of Christ and being raised from that water grave of baptism, being cleansed from our sins, we are raised to walk in newness of life. The old man of sin has been put to death. That means we're separated from him. We've left him out in the world. Now we're new creatures in Christ Jesus. No longer to walk after the flesh, but now to walk after the dictates of the Spirit. And when we, in our own mind, are in agreement with what the Spirit has revealed in the Word of God, then we are assured that we are the children of God. And we're joint heirs with Christ in that heavenly home. But if we haven't obeyed that gospel, we're not in Christ. We're not in that spiritual relationship. And we need to make a difference. But we who are in Christ need to make known the difference. That's our responsibility. How do we make it known? By keeping ourselves unspotted from the world. James chapter 1 and verse 27. We're told to keep ourselves unspotted from the world. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 through 17, we're told there what to be found in the world, and we're told to be separate from the world. In the passage we just read in Romans 8, we're told to be separate from the world by not walking after the flesh, but walking after the Spirit. Are we daring to be different? Living in conducting ourselves in such a way as to be a challenge to those of our acquaintances, that they may see in us something they're not seeing in themselves. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good work and glorify your Father which is in heaven." How bright does your light shine? There's the challenge. Do you like to stumble around in the dark by a flashlight just about dead? I'm sure there's not a one of us that chooses that kind of comfort in the dark. A flashlight that's about dead. We want a flashlight that is strong, that delivers a bright light. We don't want to stumble or fall over anything. But we're told in 2 Peter chapter 1 to add to our faith that brought us into Christ. Seven things. And we're told in verse 11, "If these things be in you and abound, that ye shall never fall." Never fall. Doesn't say you will never stumble. It says you'll never fall. Because we will stumble. We will stumble. But we don't want to fall. So we must then do what we are taught by God to do as His people, that our light may shine to those that are in the world, to those that we may influence for that which is right, that indeed, through our very life, may lead them to the salvation of their souls. There's the challenge, and there's the difference. Do we really dare to be different? I trust that we do. And if indeed we do, then as evil men get worse and worse, we will be getting stronger and stronger and be able to hold the banner of Prince Emmanuel high in the face of whatever opposition the devil may hurl our way. Are we preparing to meet that challenge? I hope that we are. If you're here and you're not in Christ Jesus, then certainly you're not in a position to meet that challenge. You cannot defeat the devil by being in association or and being controlled by the devil. You've got to leave that. You've got to make a separation. You must so live that they will separate from you. If they don't, you must so live that you will be separated from him. Remember those two statements we read to begin with? There's got to be a separation. We've got to make a difference. I'm sure that every person in the sound of my voice knows the conditions that God has set before us that we must meet and obey in order to establish that difference to His glory. And if that you have not done, you have that opportunity tonight. And I think that everybody in this assembly just about, perhaps, has done that, and I know you know it. And so you have the opportunity. You have the life. Why not obey it tonight? If you're not fulfilling your responsibility, your light's gone out or so dim it's not showing anybody else the way. Won't you repent of that? Have the determination? Dare to make the difference? If God be for you, who can be against you? And Jesus said that we can do all things through Him. Won't you then, if you're subject to the Lord's invitation anyway, accept His goodness and His graciousness by extending you life and opportunity right now as together we stand and say,